Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into Sports Talk, doing a little fantasy football talk now. For that, we welcome in Chad Parsons, Under the Helmet Fantasy Show on the Believe Network. How was your week one, Chad? How you doing?
Well, Christian McCaffrey gave heart attacks to everybody on Monday night. I happen to have three leagues with him, and you know what? I go in there, got Jordan Mason, so that's an easy swap, and I think I was more lucky than good this week on Monday night, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. That was a big one. My teenager at home, he also had McCaffrey, was able to pick up Jordan Mason last minute, insert him into the lineup. What do you know? Boom, ends up winning his matchup for the week anyway. But obviously, people know this name now. It's no secret if he's still out there on waiver wires. Hopefully, you can grab him. What are some other running backs from week one's performance that kind of flew under the radar that might be available in some guys' fantasy leagues right now to be able to pick up?
Yeah, Jordan Mason is the big one. I think the other one is the sneaky backfield with the Chargers. You know, they're going to be able to run the football. We saw that in the first game. They actually have one of the better matchups in the entire NFL against Carolina here in week two, and you saw what the Saints were able to do. But J.K. Dobbins, he really had about half of that backfield. He had more of the receiving work than Gus Edwards. So Dobbins is out there in a good amount of leagues, and he can just outright take this job as long as he's healthy. We'll see how long that lasts, but I think it was a huge positive step for J.K. Dobbins that you get an auto start running back going forward.
Chad, on Sunday night, my fantasy team suffered its first big blow. Puka Nacua leaving with an injury, now heading to the IR. So, you know, give me some names I should target maybe on the wire for some wide receivers that you could potentially pick up if you're, you know, if you are like me and you just lost your wide receiver too.
Yeah, absolutely. A huge blow. It sounds like he might not be back for at least 4 weeks, but it might even take a couple more weeks after that until you feel good with his health. I would say stick there with the Rams. DeMarcus Robinson played almost every route when you look at the passing game. So he is one that's out there in a bunch of leagues. Secondarily, a little deeper, you go Tyler Johnson, who made that 50-plus yard play, eluded a couple defenders. He played less of the routes, so I would rather go DeMarcus Robinson, but Tyler Johnson's going to play a ton. And then Jordan Whittington, and again, he was the preseason darling. They actually gave him, he had a rushing touchdown near the goal line, but he's going to be pushed into action. He is the profile that is most like Puka Nacua, and in Matt Stafford we trust. So I would just stay right there. There's also Greg Dortch there in Arizona, who looks like the wide receiver one, not Marvin Harrison Jr. coming out of week one. But I would stay with the Rams just because I think you have a shot at real upside and for 4+ weeks here.
Curious your opinion about and wide receivers, Chad. What's your take on a guy like Rashid Shaheed from the Saints? Obviously, the black and gold had a huge week one performance against the Panthers. We hope they're able to perform, you know, like that offensively all the time. But is Rashid Shaheed, you know, coupled with his special teams yardage ability, a pretty good grab if he's still there out in the waiver wire for you?
Yeah, I love the big play wide receivers. When you're going for guys that are going to be in your wide receiver three slot, maybe a flex option, really all of it, you're not really going to have a stud option. So going towards upside, going towards big play ability, and Rashid Shaheed is that threat. It's actually not Chris Olave. It's not anybody else in that Saints offense. So, and he has a golden opportunity. They really did not address the wide receiver position after Michael Thomas did not work out. So even if his snaps are not at an elite level, I still think that speed and that big play ability, that's why I love, you know, if Taysom Hill is a tight end eligibility on your platform, but Shaheed at wide receiver, these types of guys can make big plays. And if it's coming from the waiver wire, if it's your last roster spot in your lineup, that's basically the best you can hope for, is big upside occasionally out of your lineup. And Shaheed offers that with his downfield presence.
And then, Chad, looking at the tight end position, I know that a lot of people were panicking after Thursday Night Football. Oh, yeah. And Mark Andrews, who was one of the highest drafted tight ends,
I'm in that
absolutely
number.
Nothing. I saw a joke on Twitter that someone said that they drafted basically the Ravens' extra left tackle, which kind of made me laugh. But, I mean, you're looking at what Isaiah Likely did on that game where he just popped off, had probably what's going to be one of the best fantasy performances by a tight end all season long. But how sustainable is it for Isaiah Likely? Is he someone that you can kind of trust to put in your starting lineup week in and week out? And for those that did draft Mark Andrews, are they kind of out of luck, or just be patient?
I think you got to be patient. Mark Andrews, I did a deep dive on elite tight ends in the offseason, and it was basically Travis Kelce, George Kittle, and Mark Andrews are the bulletproof, been there, done that their entire career, and you should have such confidence in them. And Mark Andrews, he had a car accident. He wasn't totally healthy, and so it may be early, you know, that midseason we saw from Travis Kelce last year where, you know, going through the motions, and he just did not look himself. I think we saw that in week one with Mark Andrews, and he was triple teamed on a lot of those plays that Isaiah Likely was wide open. So they chose to take Mark Andrews out of that game. And if anything, that's a respect move. Likely only played in the 60% range in terms of routes, and Andrews was up in the 75 to 80% range. So again, it's going to be really tough for Isaiah Likely. He was hardly in any lineups in week one, and he shouldn't have been, but he came through with that big performance. Could have been even bigger with that game winner possible. But I would say, again, tight ends in the 60% range for routes, that is tough to make a living. That's tough to rely on them. And so, yes, Mark Andrews should be in your lineup again. The squeaky wheel is going to get the grease probably in week two or week three. And then Isaiah Likely, again, I mean, if you were in a streaming situation, or you are, he's not a bad play just because their wide receiver two is so weak. But just know you're really trying to shoot the needle because he was left open. You know, he had a couple of long runs, which is not sustainable at the tight end position. So a lot of fluky things went into his monster performance week one.
Chad, I'm a streaming defense fiend, and right now it looks like I should be picking up whoever's playing the Giants or Panthers after week one. That's obviously an overreaction, but going into week two, is there anybody on the waiver wire defensively that you think is a worthy pickup, has a good matchup ahead?
Yeah, no, I think you hit it. I think, you know, Carolina and the Chargers, where I was talking about the Chargers before week one because you know, that they were going to have good matchups two in a row against the Raiders. That one didn't transpire quite as good. But, yes, Carolina is one. The Giants, until they change quarterbacks from Daniel Jones, is going to be another one that you really just want to target. And also, these younger quarterbacks, when in doubt, again, you know, it's kind of a formula play.
Yeah.
But rookie quarterbacks or non-mobile guys, hey, how about you target the guy playing – the Eagles are playing Kirk Cousins, for example. That guy couldn't get out of the way of anything in week one. So looking at scenarios like that, non-mobile quarterbacks, they're a target in the pocket, which means you can get at the football, you can get turnovers, and again, the non-mobile guys can't get out of the way and produce big plays outside the pocket. So in addition to Bryce Young and Daniel Jones, you know, that's a good starting point. You're bound to, you know, be able to get through the next few weeks at minimum until we get more matchup data.
Last one for me here, Chad. I know that some people were also comparing, you know, I just did the whole thing with Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews at the tight end position for the Ravens. The running back spot for the Tennessee Titans, I think, is pretty fascinating. Tyjae Spears and Tony Pollard were typically going around the same spot for PPR leagues. And it feels like maybe Tony Pollard's probably going to be that lead back if you're going off of, you know, the week one performances, just the amount of carries that he got, the scoring in PPR leagues versus what Tyjae Spears was able to do with the production-wise. What's kind of your thoughts on that Tennessee Titans backfield?
Yeah, that new system, it posed as well for Tony Pollard. And the biggest thing I noticed in the preseason, Pollard's juice was back. It looked like he didn't have that top-end speed and explosion his last year in Dallas. Well, it's back like we saw when he was the 1B or the committee guy with Ezekiel Elliott a couple years ago there. So Tony Pollard, the biggest thing is that Zuzu, as Greg Cosell likes to say, that explosion, that agility is back in his game. But the 77% rushing share versus Tyjae Spears, and they were about split in the passing game, that's one of the bigger elements there. It was Najee Harris and Tony Pollard, I think, were the two guys that we expected a full-blown 50-50 type committee, and the teams basically doubled down and said, no, it's Najee Harris, it's Tony Pollard, these are our lead backs. And you're concerned because Will Levis looks like he hasn't progressed, and he just really had a poor game. He lost the game. The Bears and Caleb Williams did not win that game. But Tony Pollard and the run game, I think you have to feel very confident, and far more confident than a week ago, with him in your lineups now.
Chad, awesome stuff. Definitely appreciate your time, and have a great week too, man.
Absolutely. It's going to be a fun ride this year.
For sure. Chad Parsons, Under the Helmet Fantasy Show on the Believe Network. Check him out there.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.